So anyhow, tonight, this morning, tell what day it is for me, I don't know. Abimelech, rise and fall. Abimelech is this, he's a real character. And he's not a good character. The book of Judges outlines the history of Israel and the good guys and the bad guys. Well, Abimelech is a bad guy. They relate the idea of how morality and ethics in our society is, it's up to anyone to decide that whenever you reject the word of God, you reject any sense of standard that goes with it. Now, I wonder sometimes, what are these people thinking? How can they do these things, and how could they live like this, and how could they imagine doing such horrible things? And it's because there is no God. They deny that there is God and that His sovereignty, and that if you deny His sovereignty, then you deny His authority, and if you deny His authority, then you deny the Word of God. So there are no divine instructions for life. 10 commandments, 2 commandments, love the Lord thy God, and with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two things hang all of the commandments. So whenever we look at this, and as we are seeing this text today, it also reminds us that there is a judgment. And sometimes the judgment is in this life, and sometimes the judgment is in the next. And one of the important things to remember is whatever you sow, you reap. Okay? Whatever you sow, you reap. If you sow good things and you feel like you got ripped off, don't worry about it. God will repay. Someday, some way, it'll come back. If you feel that people have done bad by you, hey, put it in God's hand. Pray for them. And pray that, that God would take care of them. Don't waste our time trying to get even with someone. We need to let it go. Well, in the story today of Abimelech, we find that there is this total disregard. Last week we did, what's his name? Gideon? Yeah, Gideon. We did Gideon and how that Gideon brought peace to the land, and for, I think, 40 years, he ruled over the nation of Israel, and everything was going pretty good. Well, one of the things that's somewhere along the line, I don't know how many wives Gideon had, but he had hundreds of wives, and he had 70 sons. And the son that we are looking at today is one of the sons that he has to a concubine. And the woman is probably, the text says that she probably lives with her parents, and she's living in the town of Shechem. So this is the mother of Abimelech, which means the king is my father. So here is this woman who is a concubine of Gideon, and she has a son, and even though Gideon wasn't the king, officially the king, he ruled and reigned over Israel because that he was a judge. And the concubine that Gideon had was the mother of Abimelech. And so I think it was common then for the wives, must have been, the wives would be all together. Can you imagine a couple hundred wives living in the same complex? And so Gideon had these couple hundred wives that lived in the same complex, and there were 70 brothers, 70 half-brothers in this complex, or excuse me, 69. 70 half-brothers. And then you have Abimelech, who is a son of one of the concubines who lives in Shechem, who lives with their parents. Okay? So Abimelech has a total disregard for God. I mean, he doesn't follow the commands. He doesn't, you know, he's not been taught in the ways of his father. He is just out on his own. So what Abimelech did was he went and murdered his 70 half-brothers. And that's where the lesson is here today. Now, one of the things is we again come back to the idea of God is judge. That here are these people, this household of wives and children that belong to Gideon, that Abimelech then goes and kills all of his half-brothers. So we'll read the lesson here in chapter 9, verse 1. And Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem unto his mother's brethren and communed with them, and with all the family of the house of the mother's father, saying, Speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men of Shechem, whether it is better for you, either that the sons of Jerubbaal, which are 70 persons, reign over you, or that one reign over you. Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh. So we have Abimelech coming to Shechem, okay? Now, again, people lived very clannish. Their clans, their cousins, relatives, aunts, uncles, and so on, they would all live in, basically, in certain areas, certain regions. So Abimelech goes to his mother's aunts and uncles. He goes to his family, and he starts campaigning. He wants to be king. So Gideon is dead. And so he's telling the people at Shechem. Now, Shechem is this pretty iconic place because it is a place where Abraham was at, Jacob was at, incidents of Joshua took place in Shechem. And it was about 30 miles north of Jerusalem. And it was a very important kind of like crossroad outside of Jerusalem. So it was a prominent town, prominent area. And so Abimelech then goes to his family, his mom's relatives, and starts campaigning that wouldn't it be better for you people here in Shechem, wouldn't it be better for all of us if you had a king that came from where you're at, from your own bone of bone, flesh of flesh, your own relative? Wouldn't it be better than having 70 kings someplace else ruling over you? Wouldn't it be better to have one? So that was his convincing argument. So his plan was to gain support of the people of Shechem, and his argument was twofold. He argued that one ruler is more advantageous than 70, and he argued that all of Gideon's sons, only he was the true Shechemite. So he pleaded with them, saying, Remember also that I am bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. Verse 2. All right. Now, verse 5. He went to his father's house at Ophrah and slew his brother. Now, what he did was that in the verses that aren't included here, Abimelech and his troops were basically a hired assassins, hired mercenaries, and the people of Shechem took from the temple of Baal Berith, which, you know, they took from the temple 70 pieces of silver. So they took the money that went to the idol, and they put that money in Abimelech's hands. He went out and he bought an army of thugs, and so they all then went up to where his half-brothers were, and Jerubbaal. And being 70 persons upon one stone. So what he did was, he conquered this, wherever this was, I don't think it was a fortress or anything, it was just kind of maybe an encampment, a little area, enclosement. I'm not quite sure, it doesn't say. But anyhow, his thugs went in there and defeated whoever was on the guard and took all of the sons, 70 of them, and killed them all on one stone. So it means that he offered them as a sacrifice to the god that he got the money from, that was the god of Shechem, which was not the god of Israel. And it's just like he rounded them all up and one by one just took them to the place and killed them, except for one. One guy got away. While Gideon's sons, with Gideon's sons out of the way, Abimelech proceeded to seize power. And the men of Shechem and the house of Milo came together and installed Abimelech king of Shechem. So, hey, I'm king now. I'm the only one living, you know. You ever hear chutzpah? Ever the word? You don't have chutzpah? Remember that word? Do you know what chutzpah, where it came from? Chutzpah was he was a Jewish kid who killed his mother and father. And whenever they took him to court for murder, he pleaded with the court for mercy because he was now an orphan. Okay, that's chutzpah. You got to have chutzpah. You got to, you know, kill your mother and father and plead for mercy because you're an orphan. You know, well, this is kind of like what happens here. Abimelech goes and kills all of his half-brothers. And, you know, and then he says, oh, I'm the only one left. I might as well be king. And so the people of Shechem then decide to make him king. So he's ruler over Shechem. And Jothan, one of the half-brothers, got away. He hid somewhere and, you know, they didn't count right and they left one out. Among all the dead bodies and people and, you know, the type of situation, the carnage that went on there is just, you know, unbelievable. So, verse 19. Any questions? I mean, you know, we know that we got terrorists today and people that go around killing people and destroying them because of the name of religion and greed. Well, it happened. It's been going on for centuries. It's just that we get to have a view of it now through television. And of course, you've got 10 commentaries on it, and everyone has the right one, and they're all different. So, well, Jothan, the one who escaped, and if you he was up on Mount Carmel. Now, and he makes this projected message. Now, you would think that if he's calling out to Abimelech and to the followers, why don't they just go get him? Well, Mount Carmel is just like this. It's a very steep incline up to the top, where this is where prophet calls down fire from above and consumes the fire, you know, consumes and everything. Well, it's at least 200 yards, 300 yards of almost straight up cliff. It's not, you could do it. You could probably climb up there, but it would be a hard climb. So Jothan is at the top of this hill, and he's proclaiming this message to the valley. So you can imagine it's kind of like a natural amphitheater. And this valley is also the Valley of Megiddo. This whole region there, you know, up on Mount Carmel, and this whole valley, which is, I don't know how many miles long, it's hard to see both ends of it. So you got this huge valley, big valley, not really big valley, but, you know, that's a TV show years ago. Anyhow, it's got this huge valley, goes stretches out in every direction, and that's really, it's called the Valley of Megiddo, where the Battle of Armageddon will be. So Jothan's at the top up here, and he's making this declaration. And he says, if they then have dealt truly and sincerely with Jerubbaal and with his house this day, then rejoice ye in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. Now, some of the things that we have to always remember is, God knows the intention of the heart. Okay? So whatever people do, whatever people say, whatever we do, whatever we say, no matter how it is construed by others, it only matters that the intent of our heart, for us, we're going to stand before God. So therefore, the intent of the heart is what is written down. That's what God takes account of. So if our intention is pure, correct, then it's okay. It doesn't matter how people interpret it. It's not what I meant. It's not what I said. It's not what, you know, well, yes, it is. So in this case, Jothan is putting the declaration out there that if you guys, if your intent was good in killing the 70 half-brothers, if your intent was good, then be it, you're going to be okay. But if not, let fire come out of Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and the house of Milo, and let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from the house of Milo and devour Abimelech. And Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech, his brother. So he does this. The name Jotham means Jehovah is perfect. He had heard, or he is the one who saw or hid from Abimelech, and the he interrupts the ceremony in which they're crowning Abimelech king, and so he makes this declaration. Now, he does it from a safe distance. So prior to verse 19, he uses this analogy of the trees. He says, from a safe distance on Mount Gerizim, Jotham, addressed the men of Shechem and told a story in which the trees decided to anoint a king over them. The trees approached the olive tree and asked the olive tree to reign over all trees. Well, the olive tree declined because it was producing olive oil. Okay, so he's using this analogy of trees trying to prove his point about what had happened. Next, he went to the fig tree, and the fig tree replied it was unwilling to forsake his role as the maker of sweet fruit. So then after the fig tree, they came to the grapevine and begged the grapevine to be their king. However, the vine knew its proper role and its place in the vine scheme of things, and the vine would not give up its job of providing fruit and juice and wine, all of which brought great joy to all of humanity. Finally, the tree sought out the thorn bush and asked the thorn bush to serve as their king. The thorn bush questioned the motives of the trees and said, "If you really want to anoint me king over you, come and take refuge in my shade. But if not, let fire come down out of the thorn bush and consume the cedars of Lebanon." So after telling the story, Jotham explains the meaning. He asked the men of Shechem, "Have you acted honorably and in good faith by making Abimelech king? Have you been fair to Zerubbabel and his family? Have you treated him as he deserves?" The answer is no. In our story, Abimelech decides he wants to be king, okay? And he is Gideon's son. He is a son by a concubine. And so he has 70 half-brothers. And so Zerubbabel decides, let's go kill all my half-brothers so I'm the only one left. So that's what he did. And that's where our story is. Catch you up, you know, right in there. So anyhow, if they had not acted honorably, may fire come out. So what happens then is, when Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel, this is the next section, verse 22. When Abimelech had reigned over Israel for 3 years, then it says, God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. Okay? So when Abimelech wants to set himself up as king, he tells the people of Shechem, "Hey, you make me king, I'll do good by you." Okay? You're going, with me as your kinsman and me as your guy in power, I'll watch over you, keep you safe, and you guys can, you know, because that was a trade route, and they would charge tariffs to people to travel through there. Well, what happened after 3 years, it says, then God sent a spirit, an evil spirit. Well, there's two words here for this spirit. One is that God, in either way, God permitted an evil spirit to come and go between them, or the other one is, it's kind of like a thief with a thief. You know, after a while, they don't trust each other.